For the words of exhortation this morning will be given to us by our brother Matt Neva.
Well, good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, I'd like to thank Mike for his prayer this morning. Some of the things he spoke about in that prayer that he led us in are exactly what we're going to be talking about this morning. And we're going to be starting in the book of James, and specifically on the theme of the tongue and of speech, the things that we say. We'll endeavor to look at how the tongue is used, how it should be used, and how Jesus used it perfectly in speaking only truth. So let's begin in chapter 3, which we read this morning, and we'll see how the tongue is described and how it is often used in a fleshly way. James 3 and verses 2 to 6. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. We don't often consider the tongue in this way, I don't think, in this metaphorical way. But just as with a bit and a horse, in the mouth of a horse, and with a helm or a rudder and a ship, we are directed and moved about by the tongue. It is such a small part of the body, and yet more powerful than we often realize or wish. Just look at verse 8. We'll continue. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. No man can tame it, except, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we are asked and commanded to try, not being discouraged. Let's continue verse 9 through 13. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. The tongue indeed is a dangerous member. We use it both to bless and curse. And of course, this is another way in which we fall short of that calling that God has made. Earlier in James' epistle, we read similar language to that of chapter 3 on this subject. James 1 and verses 25 to 27. James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We are instructed to keep what we say in check. Those things that proceed from the mouth, that are first formed in the mind, we must stay on top of it. We naturally say whatever we feel, and sometimes something slips out, and we think or say, I didn't mean that. But it's too late. We are a people trying to put on the spiritual and put away the fleshly. So we should be diligent to watch what is said and ultimately what we think upon. The book of Proverbs provides much wisdom on the subject, what we're considering this morning. And we'll consider a selection of verses in a row now and contrast the two ways that the tongue is used. I think we'll easily determine which side of these verses we want to be on. Proverbs 10 and verses 19 to 21 and 31 and 32. Proverbs 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Continue chapter 12, verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Just over a page or two, chapter 15, verses 2, 4, and 7. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. And again, a little further along in chapter 21 and verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Chapter 28, verse 23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. And in the last chapter, 31, verse 26, speaking of the virtuous woman. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So if we didn't follow all those along, we have the contrasts from these verses. First, the words describing the tongue of the just. Wisdom, choice silver, righteousness, health, established forever, knowledge, tree of life, not associated with trouble, more favored, and kindness. Now the words associated with the tongue that is froward or perverse or fraudulent. Sin, little worth, deceit, a piercing sword, temporary, foolishness, a breach in the spirit, trouble, less favored, and unkind. Again, I think we would all choose the first one, the tongue of the just. So how do we make the choice and put these things into practice. The question we must ask ourselves is, are we using our own tongues, what we say, for proclaiming the gospel message and building one another up in the way, or are we using it for our own devices in this present life? So let's consider some practical ways we can use our voices the right way. Some of those avenues in which we can exercise the tongue of the just. Here are a few. Conversation with our brothers and sisters. Prayer to God. Praise to God. Interaction with those we meet in the world, even if it is only for a few moments. Conversation with friends or peers at work or school. And of course, there are others. People should ideally see us and hear us as being different. One of the ways that we can show this is in how we speak. So let's consider a couple of these for a moment. First, interaction with those we meet in the world, even if only for a few moments. A good couple of verses for this application are found in Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6, and Ephesians 4. So first Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6, and then Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Colossians 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So indeed, we should be careful what we say. That person we come into contact with might have an ear for the things of God. We have been sent into the world to proclaim his good word. And another verse just added, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 15 to 17. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So the other avenue that we'll look at in terms of how we can practically use the tongue in a right way is in conversation with our brothers and sisters. And we could break this down further into many subsections, such as how we greet each other, how we talk about problems and solutions, how we ask for help, how we offer help, how we speak about each other to someone else, and the list could go on. We could look into many of Paul's letters for guidance on the subject of how we speak and act toward one another. Let's look at just two references before we consider the teachings of our ultimate example. First, Titus chapter 2. Titus 2, starting at verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And we know that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And I think we know this list well. We'll skip down to verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The other reference we'll look at is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. So we are to speak to each other, to exhort one another, and rebuke one another where necessary. Exhorting one another doesn't just mean on Sunday morning. We should be on the watch for when our brother or sister needs encouragement, or a word of sound doctrine, or a rebuke offered in love. It's often hard to say the right thing at the right time, but our walk, yours or mine, to the kingdom might depend on it. Let's consider also the ratio of time spent talking about matters of everyday life in the world and conversation that is based on good spiritual topics and what we would refer to as meat of the word. I think these verses in Titus and Hebrews are clear on this matter. And of course, so are the teachings of Jesus, where we go now. He came to show us the way, and he certainly tells us how to use the tongue in a good way. We'll read some of the things that Jesus taught starting in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. If we weren't convinced already of the importance of what we say, he spells it out very plainly for us. Next in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. And verse 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And confessing is more than simply stating belief in Jesus. We must be able to give a solid answer to all, having the word in our hearts and minds and on our lips. To confess him, we must be able to say we know him and what he stood for, what he said and came to do. He continues in John's Gospel. Chapter 6, we have more. Written of what he said. John 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The things Jesus spoke about and shared with those around him were so much more than simple, casual conversation. These words had and have real substance and power to change. And he continues in chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Whose glory do we promote? The one who sent his Son into the world and raised him up, the same one who cares for us. A couple more in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Wouldn't we love to be able to say that phrase too? I speak these things. We have been given the necessary tools. Do we use them? And are we able to speak of these things taught to us in all circumstances in our lives? And in John chapter 12, he reiterates the point. John 12 and verse 48 to 50. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus was the Word made flesh, and always had the words of Scripture in his mind and on his tongue, ready to speak. When he was tempted, he drew from the Word the right response. We too should commit to memory as much as we can, that we might have a word ready to speak. As we consider the emblems this morning, the bread and wine, Jesus' body and blood, we think of the ways in which he sacrificed himself and poured out his life and energy in service and in the good work. He certainly gave us the example of how to use the tongue, of how we should speak one to another, in encouragement, rebuke, and sound doctrine. We hope to unite our voices in that glorious coming kingdom, to render unto our God and Father all honor, praise, and glory. Let us use our tongues for good in the last days that remain, with that glorious day in mind.